Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you ever want to call or text, join the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Dan Schaefer will be here to recombobulate coming up at 10:33. He just won a whole bunch more awards. It's amazing.
He needs to take a year off maybe and become a judge.
Something. I'm not sure.
It just feels like, is it a fair fight anymore?
You're right.
When you're up against Dan Schaefer, it's like the John Oliver effect. Like you walk in and you're going,
I'm not going
to
win.
It's just nice to be nominated.
Right. Right. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer about his bevy of awards and many other things coming up at 10:33. We're going to start out though with a little trip, Greg Bach, down memory lane.
Oh, fantastic.
We did this a couple of weeks ago, and I think it bears repeating.
Yeah.
It bears reminding because we've talked about this often. We forget. People forget what things were like. I forgot what I had for dinner 2 days ago. So I think it's important to remind folks.
Soup.
You had soup?
Oh, I was hoping we used what you had.
I did not have soup.
Darn.
But, yeah, so we keep hearing from MAGA Republicans, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago, March 15th of 2020? Ironically, the new head of the Republican National Committee, along with Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, the new head of the RNC, Michael Whatley, appeared on Fox and asked that question, and I think he had a very interesting response. Let's hear from Michael Whatley.
Were you better off 4 years ago than you are today? The answer for this entire country is no. Hmm. I mean, yeah, we are better off today, or we will be.
Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And the new head of the RNC says yes. Or, yeah, we're better off today.
Oh, well, you tried, buddy.
And that was like his first big shot on Fox News as the new head of the Republican National Committee. Let's play that just one more time.
Were you better off 4 years ago than you are today? The answer for this entire country is no. I mean, yeah, we are better off today, or we will be.
Thanks. Try again. You get to go home with a home version of this game.
Yeah. So were we better off 4 years ago, right at the beginning of the global COVID pandemic? Just a reminder, on February 27th of 2020, Donald Trump said, it's going to disappear one day like it's a miracle. It will disappear. And from our shores, it could get worse before it gets better. It could maybe go away. We'll see what happens. Nobody really knows. The commander-in-chief on February 27th of 2020.
Bringing confidence to the people all over the land.
Yes, it was so confidence-inducing, one could say. Chris Hayes on MSNBC put together a really good compilation a couple of days ago, and I know our colleague Todd Alba used some of that, and we're going to do the same. 4 years ago today, or I'm sorry, 4 years ago, March 13th, so this would have been Wednesday.
Yeah.
4 years ago, Wednesday, this is what Donald Trump said about the COVID-19 pandemic.
A national emergency. Two very big words. Mm. We don't want people to take a test if we feel that they shouldn't be doing it. 1.4 million tests on board next week, and 5 million within a month. I doubt we'll need anywhere near that.
Dr. Yeah. Fauci said earlier this week that the lag in testing was, in fact, a failing. Do you take responsibility for that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all. No.
You said that you don't take responsibility, but you did disband the White House pandemic office. The officials that worked in that office said that the White House lost valuable time because that office wasn't disbanded. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a nasty question. Some of the doctors say it will wash through, it will flow through.
Yeah.
Interesting terms.
Yeah.
And very accurate. I think you're going to find in a number of weeks it's going to be a very accurate term.
Interesting terms that I just made up myself.
Flow through the body. It's going to flow through the body.
Yes, indeed.
And that's how it will go. That was 4 years ago Wednesday under the Trump administration. As Donald Trump was talking about how we've got this under control, it's all good, no worries. This is what Lester Holt from MSNBC was reporting on the same day.
Number of cases in the U.S. rising to near 2,000, at least 41 deaths, all schools closing in a growing number of states, millions of students impacted, houses of worship suspending services, landmarks, theme parks, sporting events, and concerts shutting down.
Nothing to worry about.
Just
going to flow through the body. It's going to flow through the body. Disappear like it's a miracle.
I know that's a good one, but my favorite still is when springtime comes, when it gets warm, it's just going to...
Goes away.
Yeah, it just goes away.
We have one more clip. This is from 4 years ago today. 4 years ago today, March 15th of 2020.
And we will do whatever it takes, and we're doing, I think, really, really well.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your response to this crisis?
I'd rate it a 10. I think we've done a great job. It's a very contagious virus. It's incredible, but it's something that we have tremendous control of. I think, and we're going to come out stronger than ever before.
Yeah, 4 years ago today, we got it's all under control. It's all good, people. Don't worry, no problem. It's very contagious. Who knew, Greg Bach? Who knew?
I didn't. I wasn't. I mean, I didn't know that until he told me. I just thought it was like just like the flu.
Yes.
Just killed.
Or a bad cold.
A bad cold or
a bad
flu.
Cold. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in looking through some of these clips, when I was looking for these clips last night, remember Dr. Deborah Birx, the scarf lady?
Yes.
She had the very expensive Hermes scarves that she always wore.
Great.
And she would be with him in these press conferences, just looking at the back of his head. You could see the pain in her eyes.
Oh, yes. She was sitting on the side when he was talking about injecting bleach.
And lights.
And, lights
in the body.
Bleach.
She looked so pained. She looked so pained.
We're going to work on this, right? Have you worked on this? It just points to her. You can work on this? Oh, God. You poor lady.
See what we forget? We forget. That's why we're taking a little spin down memory lane. On what things were like 4 years ago, because the MAGAs keep asking now, were we better off 4 years ago? And pretty much resoundingly, I think the answer is a big no. On March 30th of 2020, Donald Trump said, stay calm, it will go away. You know it is going away, and it will go away, and we're going to have a great victory. At that point, we were having over 17,000 new cases every day. 17,000. So from today to March 30th, when we had, 1,200, 1,400 a day?
Yeah.
It jumped to 17,000 daily cases by March 30th. By March 30th of 2020, New York's official death toll was over 1,000. That's the death toll. By April 1st of 2020, the U.S. confirmed a total of over 200,000 cases and over 4,000 deaths, just 2.5 weeks later. This is why I think it's important that we remember what was happening.
And a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork now on various social medias where they're saying things like, we were right. It's now just like the common cold or the common flu we can treat like... Well, now we can, yes.
But it's still, that's not entirely accurate.
But we have a vaccination that you can get once a year now.
True.
We're prepared more. We have more knowledge of it. But now because we're not as afraid of it as we used to be, we're not wearing masks everywhere. We're traveling more. People are saying, see, we were right.
No, you weren't right.
I know. Oh, trust me. I know.
People, typically over 1 million people don't die from a cold. Right?
I know.
I'm no doctor.
No. We could talk to Dr. Lyerly about it someday.
next week.
Yeah.
855-75-CIVIC. Tom from Los Angeles on the phone. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Craig. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We must also fight every day to get money out of politics, whether it's at the local level or at the Supreme Court level of the United States. I wanted to just call and thank Civic Media and thank Earl's show and Tammy Baldwin, because today or 2 weeks ago, I gave blood for the first time in 20 years because gay men can finally give blood.
That's right.
That's due to Tammy Baldwin. And now I came back this week. I'm in the Red Cross right now, and I'm giving blood platelets for people living with cancer. And I'll be doing this weekly. And that is a big, big shout out to Civic Media and to Tammy Baldwin, because I feel like I'm giving the gift of life. And I would really encourage everybody out there, give blood. It's not, it doesn't hurt. Don't be a snowflake and worry about getting a little needle in your arm. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Look at the number of bodies that piled up under this monster, this man that thinks he can make fun of disabled people and make fun of little children with stuttering problems.
Yep.
And even President Biden with a stuttering problem. This is a monster.
Yep.
And if that's who you want your kids to grow up to emulate, then I really feel sorry for all of you out there. And honestly, you're not a racist if you're a person that believes in Trump, but you are a loser. You're a real loser. And that's just all I wanted to say.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much for listening and for checking in. And good for you for going to donate. We just talked about this.
Yes.
With Colleen from Versity, about how important it is to donate blood and what a difference that makes for everybody.
Yeah.
It really does.
Thanks for calling, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, wherever you're listening, across the state, across the country, even globally. If you're watching on the live stream, you can join the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. Doing a little trip down memory lane, because we're hearing this so much now from MAGA Republicans. Were you better off 4 years ago than you were today? And Greg, for people who are just joining the show, let's play that clip from the new head of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley, appearing, I believe it was last night on Fox News, asked the same question.
Were you better off 4 years ago than you are today? The answer for this entire country is no. I mean, yeah, we are better off today, or we will be.
No, we weren't better off 4 years ago today. By March 30th, over 17,000 daily cases were happening in the United States, just the United States. And by May 8th of 2020, here is what then President Donald Trump said about the coronavirus outbreak. Well, I feel about vaccines like I feel about tests. This is going to go away without a vaccine. It's going to go away, and we're not going to see it again, hopefully, after a period of time. You may have some flare-ups, and I guess, you know, I would expect that. Sometime in the fall, you'll have flare-ups, maybe. Maybe not. But according to what a lot of people say, you probably will. We'll be able to put them out. You may have some flare-ups next year, But eventually, it's going to be gone. I mean, it's going to be gone. By May 8th of 2020, 4 years ago, May 8th, we were getting 25,000 new cases of COVID every single day. So were we better off 4 years ago? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 if you want to join the show. Charles from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Charles. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Gene.
Morning.
Good to hear you. Keep going. Keep the program going. I love everything you guys do. Let's see. Are we better today than we were 4 years ago? Let me think. We were using refrigerated trucks as a morgue.
Yep.
We were a third of what the national debt, deeper in debt than it was 4 years ago when we started, because the fact of the matter is that the national debt went up a third. Another point is, this is a little bit off the subject, but if the Republicans would stop raising the national or stop stealing money from Social Security to pay on the national debt, maybe the government and maybe the people of America would still have Social Security coming, you know, like it's supposed to, rather than, you know, having some idiots in there saying, well, we're going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And with that being said, because it's $8-something trillion they've taken out of Social Security since Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And it, sure, it's been Democratic presidents, but it's the Republicans that have pushed it.
I can't.
So they own 93% of the debt.
I can't disagree with you, Charles. I mean, seriously, if you really break it down and you really look at the numbers, thank you so much for calling. I don't think you're wrong. 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to join the show, call and or text Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Bill. What do you want to say?
Good morning. It's always a great topic. You know, Fox News has massaged this economy to make it sound chaotic. They massage the border. The border's a problem, but it's not chaos. They massage everything to make it sound like Biden brought this on us all. But your last, or the caller before, one said, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? The answer is yes, because my body is not being driven away with a bunch of other bodies because we lack the ability to prevent COVID.
Yeah, right, Bill? I mean, we're walking...
You know, it's just so ridiculous how they massage the truth. Brian Kilmeade, I think is how you say his name, he makes $7 million to lie professionally.
And
I'll leave it with that. Thanks and have a great day.
You too, Bill. Thank you so much. And Bill, I think you make a great point. That's another thing that people tend to forget. Fox News was fined almost $1 billion
mm-hmm.
for intentionally lying to their audience. $1 billion.
And now a lot of their audience thinks they're too liberal.
But they still watch and they still believe.
Yeah.
They got busted for lying to their viewers. $1 billion and people still tune in and accept what they say as gospel. It's remarkable.
Yeah. Like I said before, I would love to know what it feels like just to be in their head for 10 minutes for somebody who just fundamentally disagrees with everything that, you know, they hear from a scientist. Like, just that idea that, nope, scientists, they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
The Dr. Fauci doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
I know more. I've read on the internet.
Well, again, and we talked about this yesterday, specifically in regard to Aaron Rodgers, who believes he is the smartest person in the room. Nobody is smarter than he is. He does his own research. He looks into things. He's got an analytical brain. He's smarter than everybody. And no one can tell him that he's wrong. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Good morning, Scott from St. Louis. Thank you for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing pretty well.
Good.
Something that as little considered as thinking about how our work-life balance is now since before COVID or during it, because so many people have been able to shift their working to being remote or partial remote. People are prioritizing the work-life balance a lot more than before COVID happened, because that wasn't a consideration or a possibility.
Right.
COVID forced us to work remotely, and we learned how to balance our lives better.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Scott. I mean, it really changed the workplace. And for the first time in many, many decades, workers actually ended up getting the upper hand for a little bit. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Scott.
And I think about, like, even my own work, it's like I was working in person when, like, COVID started, and now I'm, like, making an effort to find jobs that have more remote working opportunities, because that way I can balance my life better, and it's like that wasn't even a consideration before.
No, you're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Scott, and thank you very much for listening. We have news on the way next, and when we return, we're going to recombobulate with the award-winning Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, or shoot us an email at janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays at civicmedia.us. He joins us every Friday at this time, from 10:30 to 11 o'clock, the multiple award-winning Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. You're like the Michael Phelps of journalists. You should wear all your awards around your neck.
You're making me embarrassed, Jane, but thank you for the kind words.
You're like the Dan Rather of journalists. That work? Did I do it right? Oh, good. Good, thanks.
I'm just letting the dead air sit there for Greg.
He just wanted to.
You know what? I won an award in high school. That's...
No,
congratulations, Greg.
Whatever.
No, that's really impressive. Recombobulation Area just won three more awards, right?
That's right. Three more Milwaukee Press Club awards, and not just to me this year. So we had awards for our regular contributors, Angela Lang and Philip Rocco. For their terrific work that nice. They contributed to our scrappy little publication in 2023. So very excited to, for the first time in our, you know, for the Recombobulation Area, it's not just me getting an award. It's a couple other people who contributed as well. So I'm very excited about that.
That's wonderful. Congratulations to all of you. It really is. And like you said, I can't imagine you had this in mind when you started your scrappy little online publication, but here you are. So well done to all of you, seriously.
Yeah. When I was a stay-at-home dad, trying to do something part-time to stay in the mix, and now it's grown to a thing where we've now won 13 Milwaukee Press Club awards, and it's my full-time job, and now I'm here talking to you guys.
That's
so
great.
You know, it's working out great.
I think you're onto something there, Dan. You might be onto something that's going to work. All right, we're going to talk about President Biden's visit. He was in Milwaukee on Wednesday. I assume you were there, Dan.
I was there, yeah. That's another thing that's happened this week. We got White House press credentials for the Recombobulation Area.
Nice.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I bet.
So yeah, I made my way over to the Boys and Girls Club on 6th Street in Milwaukee for the president's announcement on reconnecting communities. $40 million that the Biden administration is sending towards the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to help rebuild 6th Street. From North Avenue to National Avenue, you know, I think this is a really a terrific project to invest in and to make this, you know, this street that's more or less right on the edge of downtown Milwaukee, you know, a street that is, you know, the quote unquote complete street that they're aiming for, where it's not just built for cars, but has dedicated bus lanes, bike lanes, wider sidewalks for pedestrians. You know, this is a stretch that goes through some pretty residential parts of the city, but through, you know, right past Fiserv Forum, right by the MATC's downtown campus. You know, if you travel around 6th Street on any given day in downtown Milwaukee, you know, there's a lot of people taking the bus, a lot of people walking to their destination. And to make this a more walkable, pedestrian-friendly, public transit-friendly stretch, I think is a really a terrific thing. And so I think not only is this a good investment just to you know, make some real change in a place that needs it in Milwaukee, but also to kind of right the wrongs of the past. And I think this is part of what the Biden administration has prioritized with these reconnecting communities grants that are part of the bipartisan infrastructure law and part of the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, this is part of a $3.3 billion nationwide effort to right the wrongs of the past and with infrastructure. And this is a part of the city where in the 1960s, with the expansion of I-43 in particular, and some of the quote unquote urban renewal projects of that era that displaced so many people, so many Black people in particular in Milwaukee. You know, the Bronzeville neighborhood, Walnut Street, really got destroyed because of the freeway expansions that were happening in that time. And I thought one of the most interesting speakers who spoke before President Biden got on stage was a woman by the name of Ray Hill, who works with the historic King Drive Business Improvement District. And she told a story about her grandfather, who was a Navy veteran who moved back, who came back to Milwaukee and opened a restaurant after World War II, and had this, you know, thriving kind of burgers, frozen custard, sure, very Milwaukee restaurant. And that they had to close and move to a different part of town and sell their home because of the freeway expansion going right through Walnut Street around 6th Street there. And she talked about how that. I had a chance to talk with her a little bit after the speech too, and she told me a little bit about how the impact of that was really lingering, and that, you know, that change was a very difficult one for her grandparents, and how that family trauma, instead of generational wealth, yeah, gets passed down, and it's because of a policy decision about infrastructure. So I think, you know, this initiative from the Biden administration to prioritize not only investing in places that need it, but investing in places where you can kind of right some of those wrongs of the past as well. So a terrific project for Milwaukee.
I am assuming that you do not feel the same about expanding I-94.
No, I do not. You know, that was another project that was in the news this week. And, you know, there is kind of this inherent contradiction when you're hearing, you know, leaders like Tony Evers talk about some of these projects, when Tony Evers is the one advancing some of these, this highway expansion that's happening in Milwaukee, that just this week it was reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that, surprise, the highway expansion project is not just going to be $1.2 billion, it's going to be $1.7 billion. So suddenly it's going to be another $500 million more expensive than what they were saying a week ago before they got federal approval.
Oh, wonderful.
Don't get me started with, with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the way they consistently lie to us in the public all the time about these numbers about their big projects that, you know, it's going to be another $1 billion highway project to follow another $1 billion highway project. And people are going to wonder why other projects in Milwaukee are underfunded when we're spending all of this money to address congestion, which I don't think anyone would rank among the biggest problems that Milwaukee is facing.
I mean, I don't drive that stretch of I-94 very frequently, but I mean, yes, it's congested. And I'm sure when you're at drive time in the morning and the afternoon, I'm sure the afternoon is a big pain in the neck, but I don't see how this is going to fix everything. And unfortunately, people already drive like maniacs in that stretch. The speed limit is 50 miles an hour. No one goes 50 miles an hour. You'll get run over. And so they're going to expand all these lanes, and now we're going to have just more cars driving 80 miles an hour. That makes me uncomfortable.
Well, and it's an expansion that you're widening these lanes, right? You're adding a lane in either direction, which if you look at examples around the country of places that have widened their highways, it's not a long-term solution. It doesn't work. It encroaches upon diverse neighborhoods. It moves, you know, displaces people who live near the highway. It makes it a less desirable place to live and work and build a family and a career and all of these different things, because you have this highway blasting through your neighborhood. And you know, the joke is that, oh, another lane will fix it. You know, that's another lane. So are we going to come back in another 30 years and say, oh, it needs to be five lanes in either direction? Or could we take a better long-term approach by, you know, investing in public transit, investing in making safer streets in the city streets around this, you know, around Milwaukee, and investing in replacing some of those? Maybe those other lanes could be, you know, places like North Avenue or National, where there's opportunity to, you know, do what they're doing in Sixth Street, president is committing to Sixth Street.
Right.
You know, $40 million is a whole lot less than $1.7 billion. So we know that we're rebuilding, you know, a few miles of road can be more cost effective if we invest in neighborhoods and invest in city streets and invest in these types of programs that will bring people together. And the I-94 project, as I wrote in a previous Milwaukee Press Club award-winning feature story, our series called Expanding the Divide. I recently reposted that as so that people can access that, because I think this continues to be a salient issue around Milwaukee.
Well, and I think too, if they've already bumped it up to 1.7 billion, you know, by the time it's done, it's going to be 2.5 at least.
At least, if not a $3 billion project. And, you know, it's supposed to now, because the feds have approved the decision from Governor Evers and his Department of Transportation, because the feds have now approved this decision, it means it's supposed to start next year. You know, if you look back at the Zoo Interchange project, which was a similarly overbuilt project that actually was sued for racial discrimination, successfully sued for racial discrimination. And this project is, you know, and the Zoo Interchange project ended up lasting far longer than anyone anticipated. I think the last stretch of it just was finished last year.
Oh, wow.
It was like an 11-year project when they initially said it was going to be done in six or something like that. So when this gets started on the East-West project in next year, don't expect it to wrap up anytime soon, because we know these projects end up lasting a whole lot longer. So, you know, when the stadium interchange is getting rebuilt, and when the 35th Street exit and 27th Street exit are all getting rebuilt, you can think back to this moment when we could have done things differently and chose not to.
Well, and get ready to embrace the zipper merge, because I just remember the zipper merge and all of that, which felt like it went on forever. So,
Have we never been under construction?
No, like, it's always up. There's always something going on.
I thought the freeway was supposed to be done in 2020. That's what I remember Scott Walker's justification. It'll all be done in 2020. See you then.
Yeah. And then it was still under construction last year. I-43 is still under construction right now. Yep. You know, it's just, we're it's this never ending. There's always money in the banana stand, and the banana stand is money for highways.
Dan Schaefer is here from the award-winning Recombobulation area, talking about the freeway expansion that's going to be happening in the city of Milwaukee and on a portion of I-94. Also talking about President Biden's visit when he was here earlier this week. Any other takeaways from the president's visit on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of energy in the room for the president. A lot of unions were represented there. A lot of other kind of Milwaukee Democrats were there for the event. And, you know, I didn't go to this part of it, but it was also the launch of the Biden campaign's Milwaukee statewide headquarters, which is going to be in Milwaukee. So I think, you know, recognizing the importance of the city that's going to be, you know, hosting the RNC this year, yeah. You know, the state Democratic Party is having their convention in Milwaukee, the Biden campaign putting their headquarters in Milwaukee. I guess we're going to have a whole lot to cover at the Recombobulation area for the rest of the year. So I guess you're going to have to subscribe now. To make sure you're up to speed on everything.
Subscribe before the price goes up. I'm telling you, you better do it now.
And make some, and that shelf behind you, make some room for more awards.
Yeah, you got to start wearing them. All right.
Start wearing them.
When we return, we're going to talk about our potential hallucinogenic vice president. That's coming up. Dan Schaefer's here from the Recombobulation area. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Dan Schaefer is here as he is every Friday at this time to recombobulate. You can subscribe to him at the Recombobulation area. Dan, they're all on vacation now in Madison, pretty much, right? Aren't they done? And they left a whole bunch of stuff undone.
They sure did. The Wisconsin State Legislature, a full-time legislature that decides that at the end of their session every 2 year cycle, it seems to be creeping earlier and earlier every year under Republican rule. The state Senate held its final sessions this week. The state assembly did a couple weeks ago. They wrapped their session at the very end of February. So now they've got, you know, 10 months to,
work on policy,
raise money from billionaires or whatever it's going to be. You know, they say it's to come back and visit with their constituents. And there is a certain level of that. Being a legislator is not just being in the halls of the Capitol in Madison and writing legislation and taking votes and passing bills and all of those different things. Of course, it's important to be back in the district you represent to meet with constituents and all that. But this is one of those things that just drives me crazy. It's just like, oh, this is the way we've always done it. So this is the way we're always going to do it. Yeah. And I think that is always just a horrible mentality to bring to any kind of big picture decision making. And that's kind of where things were left this week in the legislature, because there were a lot of things that, you know, that people did a lot of work on over the past 2 years that, you know, could really be addressed, but isn't, you know, I'm looking for the number of the bills here, but I think it's like there was, you know, like 1,000 bills or something like that proposed over the course of the cycle. And I think only like 100 of them are going to get across the finish line.
Jesse O'Boyan in today's Journal Sentinel has a really good look to it at just some of the things that they left and let sit, including a lot of bipartisan measures. A lot of these things had bipartisan agreements and either didn't get brought up at all or, you know, or one person knocked it down. It's just, it's infuriating.
Yeah, I'm referencing Robin Vining, representative from Wauwatosa, posted this on her Instagram this week. With over 1,000 bills introduced and around 100 signed into law, the Republican majority has decided to go home and apparently focus on running for a re-election instead of working for the people who are relying on us to hear, debate, and pass bills. You know, yeah, you mentioned that story from Jesse O'Boyan at the Journal Sentinel too. You know, there was one quote from a Republican state legislator in that piece. Representative Michael Schroff from Oshkosh was frustrated that a bill that they passed in the assembly was going to die in the state Senate. It was a bill on creating a task force on missing and murdered Black women. State Senator Dewey Strobel in the Republican caucus more or less blocked this bill from passing. And my Representative Schroff from Oshkosh, quote, "I'm so disgusted. We wonder why taxpayers have such a low approval rate of Congress and people in this chamber. And it's because of these things. There's no reason that this should be killed in the other chamber." So a lot of examples of that, of bills that maybe, you know, passed in the assembly or the Senate,
yep,
and didn't get across the line in the other chamber. You know, the Republican caucus that has been in control of the legislature for so long can't seem to get it together and get on the same page from one chamber to the next. And there are so many bills that didn't make it across the finish line, but there's also no reason that this should be the finish line.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of, you know, that even if there's, you know, a couple months break to meet with constituents and whatever, you could come back this summer and pass a couple of these bills that didn't make it. You know, I'm thinking also about the one about processing absentee ballots.
Oh, I know.
This one just totally drives me crazy that you know, they're putting the city of Milwaukee in particular in this position where people are going to be lobbying, you know, accusations of all these different kinds of conspiracy theories that come out about ballot dumps in the middle of the night. And we have an opportunity to address that. It's supported by both Robin Voss and Tony Evers. How often does that happen? And it's passed by a huge bipartisan majority in the state assembly. And yet we have Dan Knodel and Devin Lemahue in the state Senate, just almost, you know, just the two of them really blocking this from getting over the finish line. It's just so frustrating.
And that's because they want to keep this as an issue, I think.
Yeah.
They want to be able, if things don't go their way in November, then they can keep this alive and say, well, it's because, you know, it was ballot dumping and all the other baloney that they said in 2020. They want to keep this issue alive. To me, that's the same thing as what they're doing in Washington. That's why they don't want to do anything about the border, because they run on this as a campaign issue, and they do not care if it gets fixed. They don't.
Yeah,
they really don't.
They'd rather fuel conspiracy theories than actually address a problem.
Yes, absolutely.
It's pretty clear.
All right, in the couple of minutes we have left, Aaron Rodgers, RFK Jr. and AR, what do you think?
You know, it's if Aaron Rodgers thought he was having trouble with some people in sports media, get ready for the Oppo machine that runs in presidential campaigns. Already seeing some of that with the reports about his conspiracies about Sandy Hook.
Yes.
Or that CNN story earlier this week. I think the big picture of this, though, of this whole Aaron Rodgers news cycle, is telling us that things are not going to get any less weird anytime soon. Everything is just going to stay truly bizarre for the foreseeable future. And, you know, we just got to embrace the weird at this point.
I can embrace weird. I don't necessarily have a problem with embracing weird.
Well, one thing, you know, we did this segment, we were talking about it the other day, and a woman called up and she was kind of upset that we were really putting too much emphasis on the craziness of RFK Jr. And when I went to go look at his website, his policies aside from vaccinations pretty strong, like very progressive, very like very liberal in the Kennedy legacy, if you will. And I was like, you're doing yourself such a disservice by harping on this.
And that's his big calling card. Yeah. That is his big calling card. All right, we have news coming up next. Dan Schaefer, have a great week. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you next Friday. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Stay close. News is next. Coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.